This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Sunday, December 15th, 2019. I am Dan Rubin. This is Bucknuts Almost Live, our in-season Sunday morning podcast. Sure, there was no game this week, but there's plenty to talk about. And to take care of it, we brought in two of the finest. The Dean of Ohio State Recruiting, Bill Kerlick, will join us in just a second. He'll be followed up by the People's Champ, Matt Baxendale. Bill, how goes it for you on this gray Ohio morning?
Goes well. I'd like to see a little sun out there, but so be it. December in Columbus, but going well.
Same deal in the Gem City. Let's get to another city, New York City. There were several Buckeyes in attendance, two current Buckeyes, one former Buckeye. Justin Fields and Chase Young came in fourth and third, respectively. That's another topic in and of itself. Joe Burrow won the Heisman Trophy. Believe it or not, people, there was a time when Ohio State was going to add him as a quarterback that Buckeye Nation was not too pleased. He was not heralded. He had no other offers. Bill, you were one of the ones who was on the trail with him early. We're going to start with this because, as I said to you before the show, if there was a bigger champion of Joe Burrow behind the scenes than you, I do not remember him. You were on point with him from the start. Talk about what it was like to see him go from literally a guy who nobody wanted to, you know, highly decorated college football player in America.
Well, I guess I would start with, you know, I'm not sure it could happen to a better family. You know, Joe Burrow, his mom, dad, I got to know them well, and just great people. I'm happy for Joe. You know, he's worked really hard to get where he's at, and, they're such nice people. They, you know, I went to one of his games, and I traveled 2.5+ hours to get to it on a Friday night. And he really, and his family really appreciated that. I mean, they're just, you know, they get it, so to speak. And, you know, the situation he was in, you know, he ended up going to Ohio State, and, you know, the Buckeyes realized that, you know, he's a guy that could help the program. And, you know, he ended up in a battle for the job. And obviously that didn't turn out exactly the way he wanted it to. Went off to LSU. But, you know, I thought it was really neat last night on at the Heisman ceremony how many times that he mentioned Ohio State and the state of Ohio. And I thought that was great for him, his family, and for Ohio, as well as Ohio State. So, you know, kudos to Joe. At one point, I was at the Elite 11 regionals, and it was at Ohio State, and I thought he performed really well. I thought he was the best quarterback there. He did not get selected for the Elite 11. Someone named Alex Malzone was selected out of Michigan, and I just did not understand. You know, Alex Malzone was about a 6'1" quarterback who did okay, but I looked at Joe Burrow and the potential, and I saw a 6'3" kid who threw the ball pretty well and made plays, kept them alive with his legs and all, and I it just kind of amazed me. And you know, we know how that turned out. Joe Burrow wins the Heisman, and Alex Malzone didn't make it. And that's not a knock on Alex Malzone. It's just that you know, Joe Burrow was under the radar for so many people, and I'm just happy for the whole family, I guess you'd say.
I can only echo those sentiments. those in Ohio are going to get to see plenty of Burrow going forward. He'll be with the Bengals. Truly an unbelievable ride for him and his family. And I agree. It was really cool to hear him refer to Michigan as that team up north, or to, you know, when he got the award announced, he went and thanked everybody from the LSU side. And before he hit the stage, he stopped and thanked Ryan Day and Mick Marotti. And I couldn't help but think that if you were a quarterback getting recruited to Ohio State, and listen, if you're looking at your future, sometimes you have to look at the worst case scenario. And I assume when you're a recruit, that's it. You'll have to transfer if you get somewhere. However, if you do look at that situation and see the feelings Burrow has for Ryan Day and Ohio State, and then you know that Ohio State has helped everybody who wanted to transfer get to a better spot, would you agree that has helped them in recruiting in terms of like an overall vibe?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, again, it was on display last night. As you mentioned, he goes and thanks Ryan Day, and he thanks Mick Marotti. You know, if you came in and saw Joe Burrow when he came in as a freshman, and then after a couple years of Mick Marotti, there was an incredible difference there. So, you know, Ryan Day, Mick Marotti, you know, those people were all a part of this story with Joe Burrow, and he didn't forget it. And, you know, again, that's great for Ohio State. It is great for Ohio State on the recruiting trail, too. So everybody was a winner last night, in my opinion.
And keep in mind, he was on stage with two Ohio State players, one on offense, one on defense, at the key positions you want to recruit. So that's very good. And kudos to Burrow for picking Justin Fields to win the Heisman next year. He's going to open as a serious Vegas favorite. Let's get to some other current events. We are now used to this. Every season, Ohio State has tremendous success. Their assistant coaches are up for bigger jobs. This one is Jeff Hafley to Boston College. He's only been here a year. He's made a tremendous impact on the field. His NFL approach to the secondary has been just lights out. Bill, how does this affect recruiting? Hafley has been in the ear of a lot of recruits, both committed and on the radar. Take us through what happens now with Hafley's guys and how you see things going. You've spoken to a lot of them.
Well, kudos first to Jeff Hafley. You know, he earned that job at Boston College, so to speak. You know, the transformation of the Ohio State defense this year, him and Greg Madison and Al Washington coming in as well, and Matt Barnes, you know, the transformation of the Ohio State defense has just been spectacular. So, you know, kudos that Jeff Hafley, almost all coaches that are assistant coaches aspire to be head coaches. And you know, and kudos to Ryan Day, too, as well, because, you know, Ryan Day, you know, plays a part in that. And it's great that he helps his coaches get to the ultimate goal. So again, but as far as the recruiting, you know, the Ohio State staff has done a great job. You know, this is a hard time when you know, one of your top recruiters, Hafley, is number three in the country in the 247 Sports Recruiter rankings. You know, when one of your top recruiters who has recruited some of the, you know, some really outstanding players for this class takes another job right before the early signing period starts, that's tough. But the Ohio State staff was prepared for this. They were working on it just in case it happened before the fact. They were working on it on Friday night, on Saturday morning, and it's all looking pretty good right now. I expect Jeff Hafley was involved with seven recruits, and I expect at least six of them to sign with Ohio State. I think that's what is going to happen on Wednesday, the first day of the early signing period. The one in question could also sign with Ohio State, that being Clark Phillips. He is on an official visit to Utah this weekend. That news was broken by our 247 Sports West Coast insider Greg Biggins. He's on an official visit to Utah this weekend, and we'll see what happens. I know from talking to Clark last week, he was concerned about the situation with Jeff Hafley. The visit from Ryan Day helped a lot, but Clark still thought that Jeff Hafley was going to be at Ohio State going into Friday night. So it was a surprise to him a bit. We'll see what happens on his official visit to Utah. You know, that one, it could go either way, to be honest. And Ohio State certainly would like to keep him in the class. If they don't, then still, they've done extremely well and done a great job of working with the other players that Jeff Hafley recruited. And Jeff Hafley has helped to keep them at Ohio State as well, for that matter.
That would be a bummer. Phillips is a big-time player, but nature of the beast, I guess. Bill, you also did a story about some other visits the staff went on this week. Bring us up to speed on that, and let's culminate with C.J. Stroud and talk about what's going to happen on December 18th. This week is the early signing day.
Yeah, the coaches were out on the road, obviously, and they, you know, they were first and foremost seeing their commitments. The prospects in the class of 2020 and 2021, they were out on the road and doing a great job of seeing those kids. And those visits helped what has happened with the kids that Jeff Hafley recruited, in that they are, for the most part, staying with Ohio State. But they also are making stops to a lot of top 2021 kids that they have been recruiting. One of them, of course, as you would expect, was Donovan Jackson, who had quite a week. He was visited by Ohio State as well as all his other top choices, including Nick Saban at Alabama. I still think that when he announces January 8th, that is going to be one for Ohio State, and that would be a big one. And then, obviously, they made a stop to C.J. Stroud to see him. They did that on Thursday. As I posted on Bucknuts, Ryan Day was there. Mike Yurcich was there. That was just ahead of him leaving for Ohio State. He then got on a plane on Thursday afternoon around 2 o'clock and flew to Columbus. His official visit this weekend, you know, we'll see how everything turns out. But I still, as of Sunday morning, like the Buckeyes' chances to add him to the recruiting class. And, you know, what a coup that would be. When you get one great quarterback in your class, that's fantastic. If you're able to get two, that's an absolutely grand slam. And the Buckeyes, of course, already have Jack Miller. We'll see if they add C.J. Stroud. I continue, as of Sunday morning, to like my pick of a crystal ball to him to Ohio State.
So what percentage of the class do you think will be in the bag on early signing day, and then who plans to be here early?
Well, I think, you know, obviously the staff is going to go and try to get every one of the commitments to sign on Wednesday, and I would not be at all surprised if that were to happen. In fact, I think it's more likely that happens than it doesn't. So they'll hopefully sign every one of the commitments on Wednesday, the first day of the national signing period. As far as who's going to be the early grads, a long list. They've done a great job of they're going to have an infusion of outstanding talent. Jack Miller will be an early graduate, and so will C.J. Stroud. Again, Buckeye fans hoping he is in the class. And then, you kind of go down the list, and there's a grand total of 14 of them, not including Stroud, that are going to be early graduates. You've got LaRue, Gavassos, Smith and Jigba, Scott Jr., Paris Johnson, Fleming, Clark Phillips, providing that he stays with Ohio State, Darion Henry, Luke Weipler, Jacoby Cowan, Court Williams, Mookie Cooper, and Ryan Watts. Those guys are all planning to be early graduates, early enrollees.
Very, very impressive list. An even more impressive update from the best in the business. Bill, have a terrific Sunday, brother.
You too, Dan. Take care.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome back, Bucknutters. We are pleased to be joined by the people champ, Matt Baxendale. He of the Christmas party circuit playing hurt this morning. Bax, how goes it?
Hey, you know, the players aren't the only ones on the banquet circuit this time of year, let me tell you that. I am up and at 'em after multiple nights in a row of fun holiday celebrations.
So as his waistline expands, so does his ability to speak on the Buckeyes. Last night, I spoke to Bill about this at length, but it was kind of a celebration for a non-Buckeye, and I put that in air quotes because everyone knows Joe Burrow is really a Buckeye. Your thoughts on the evening and how Burrow handled it and the Ohio State vibe throughout?
Well, I mean, Joe Burrow certainly is a deserving winner. I don't want to take anything like that away from him. He had a heck of a football season. I'm just not sure how he became the consensus king runaway winner, like record-setting separation winner. That part to me seemed a little – I just don't understand it. Like there's a lot of years where like, you know, you have one guy who's really good and the rest of the Heisman finalists are kind of just there. I don't get it. This year, you have Justin Fields with a 40-1 touchdown interception ratio. You have Chase Young with a – everybody will tell you he's the best player in America, but he won't win the Heisman because it's a quarterback award at this point. You have multiple other guys who should have had some semblance of, you know, presence in the voting. Like, I don't understand why Joe Burrow's year makes him the runaway all-time record setter in terms of votes at quarterback. It was... Like he's had a good year, but so have some other people on undefeated teams too. To me, it seems like there's a significant discounting of what everyone else did. I don't know how in the hell Jalen Hurts finished second. That part to me is mind boggling. I would have figured somewhere along the line, these Buckeyes would have gotten a little bit more credit, but it is what it is. And Joe Burrow is certainly a deserving winner. I just don't get how 90% of people had him in first place of all the voters. To me, that seems beyond the pale. I don't know who these voters are at this point. The Heisman voting has long been a question. This year's another good example of it. You know, that said, Joe Burrow gave a great speech. You know, it was obviously a coronation for him. They talked to Jalen Hurts first because I think ESPN figured he'd finish last, and they did the two Buckeyes mostly together. And it was a cool story for OSU being the first school ever to have a defensive and offensive player there. It wasn't like the College Football Awards on Thursday, which was just the most ridiculous show to watch in terms of OSU being disrespected. But in the end, a guy who I think most of us consider to be a Buckeye, still to this day, is now a Heisman Trophy winner. I'm sure he had purple on, and then you know that's his secondary school at this point. And you know, I think a lot of us look at Joe Burrow and still consider him to be one of our own. And, you know, he certainly deserves congratulations. And I came out of the Heisman feeling like, hey, you know what, maybe the right guy won, but the margins were ridiculously off from the way I would have felt about the vote.
Your point on Jalen Hurts is one that I mentioned earlier. That's somewhat of an indictment of the award if that guy finishes second. There is no way Jalen Hurts could be looked at as the second best player in college football this year. That's not even within the realm of reason. So kind of silly. Moving on. Speaking of moving on, Jeff Hafley will leave Ohio State to become the new head coach at Boston College. Congrats to him. 1 year in Columbus. This does not make things easier in Ohio State, though. I talked about the recruiting side of it with Bill. Let's move on to the on-the-field side. What concerns do you have about a coach being distracted during playoff prep? Now, this is standard operating procedure for Ohio State. They're always going to have coaches in this mix. What's your feelings on the Hafley situation going forward and how it might affect the game against Clemson?
Well, the Hafley situation is kind of unique because I think we all figured we'd lose him almost certainly after next year. So him leaving this year, the only real surprise is that it's for flipping Boston College. I think the guy, if he had stayed another year, might have had some serious level Power 5 jobs clamoring for him. He might have had some NFL jobs clamoring for him. So to me, it almost feels like Hafley settled for Boston College. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he could certainly get a better job than this. But he's an East Coast guy. He wanted to be out East. And let's be honest. How many Power 5 jobs are east of Penn State? You know what I mean? You have Rutgers, and you have Syracuse, and you have Boston College, and that's it. And so of the three, I guess BC is the best job. So, but regardless of what I think of the Boston College job, Jeff Hafley is gone. He'll be there for the bowl games. Obviously, he's going to be sort of a split-focus guy at this point. It's also going to add more to Ryan Day's plate in terms of having to find a new coach. And it's very difficult to interview new coaches and recruit at the same time with the early signing day. You know, there's 18 things going on now. I imagine Ryan Day didn't go to any holiday parties last night. I imagine he went to the Heisman ceremony and then immediately started recruiting and or trying to call people to set up interviews, to replace Jeff Hafley. So in terms of prep, I mean, obviously Greg Madison's going to have to take on a little bit more of the preparation side of things here, because Hafley's going to be busy recruiting for Boston College at times. They're going to have to have some sort of schedule figured out the next couple weeks where he can essentially do both. And, you know, for OSU, especially if they win the first game, they've got now a month where they have a temporary situation at defensive coordinator. Ideally, what you can have happen is that your new defensive coordinator can be found in the shortest amount of time possible, so you can at least cover the recruiting side of things and assist in the prep for these bowl games. And the name I'm going to give you here is the name that I've been saying on the front row. It's the name I've been saying on Twitter. And it's a very familiar name, Chris Ash. Chris Ash has had the Texas job offered to him, and he has not taken it. And I wonder if the reason that he hasn't taken it is he'd much rather be in Columbus, where his kids and family are familiar, and a much more solid head coaching situation than, you know, Titty Bar Tom down in Austin, who, if he has another bad year, might be in trouble. Obviously, Ryan Day's here as long as he wants to be, is the way it's shaping up. I genuinely think Chris Ash is an excellent choice for Ohio State. I know there's a lot of people who are pointing some of these younger, more dynamic guys in their eyes that can go opposite Greg Madison. But let's face it, Greg Madison's getting older. Greg Madison's not a long-term guy. Whereas you bring Chris Ash back, look, he sucked as the Rutgers head coach, but he was amazing as a defensive assistant here at Ohio State. Let's not forget that. This is a guy who certainly, certainly can do the job as a defensive coordinator for OSU. He's a very good recruiter. I don't know how people somehow thought Chris Ash wasn't a good enough recruiter or something when he was here. He did a great job recruiting for Ohio State. I mean, again, because a guy can't recruit to freaking Rutgers does not mean he can't recruit at Ohio State. So to me, I think Chris Ash is the clear choice. I don't really know if I'm Ryan Day, if I even make that big of a list. I call up Chris Ash and go, hey, you did awesome here before. You want to come back and be the co-coordinator of Madison until he retires? And after that, the job's all yours, assuming you do a good job like you did before. To me, that's the clear solution here. It's also the most familiar solution here, because you have guys on OSU's roster at this point that remember Chris Ash as their coordinator. So, you know, I think it wouldn't be continuity, maybe wouldn't be the word, but it would certainly be familiarity. And you know Chris Ash will do a good job, so... You know, it sucks that we're losing Hafley. There's no question about it. He's a player or coach you'd love to have for an indefinite amount of time. But in the end, when you have talented assistant coaches, this is the next step. You know, it's not going to be like the Tressel era where we rarely lost assistants. And I think when you aren't losing assistants, maybe it's an indictment as to what your assistants are doing. So happy trails to that Jeff Hafley. Hopefully he goes to Boston College with a national championship ring. And, you know, like I said, let's bring on Chris Ash. I think he's the solution.
I think Chris Ash will be the choice. If it's not, my expectation is Dave will dip back into the pro ranks and pull a younger guy out of there that we haven't heard of yet. Stay tuned to that. Facts. Ohio State entered the Big Ten championship game as the number one team. They emerged as the number two team, and now they play the number three team, and the national consensus is they have no chance against the number three team. What has changed? Why is Clemson now public arena such a prohibitive favorite?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. I actually looked at CBS's, quote, expert predictions, and everybody picked Clemson, like every single person on their panel. And this ridiculous groupthink is kind of the same way we got Joe Burrow as the runaway Heisman winner, because ESPN pushed it, and everybody was kind of like, yeah, Joe Burrow's clearly the man, you know? This is what happens to be an outside influence on voters who are sheep. But I think at this point, it's like everybody went, oh, now we're going to talk about Clemson finally. Let's ignore the fact they've played no one this year. Let's ignore the fact that Ohio State's the first team ever to go undefeated in a 9-game conference schedule. They've had an average margin of victory of like 5 touchdowns this year. They haven't had a game within 10 points. To me, it's mind-boggling that the lack of respect Ohio State had. That's the number one topic of this week's entire bucket of bullets. There just have been so many instances this week of Ohio State being kind of ignored or pushed to the side or, you know, degraded, if you will. I mean, from little things like Chris Fowler not even mentioning that OSU could potentially be DBU at the Thursday award ceremony for the down in Atlanta. Or you also have, you know, the fact that a guy who was mediocre this year in Grant Delpit winning the Thorpe Award over Jeff Okuda. Little things like that are going to be motivators for this Buckeye team. But I don't understand all of a sudden why this Clemson team is better than Ohio State when they haven't played anyone this year. We all know what they are. They're a darn good team. I think Clemson's the second best team in the country behind Ohio State. I will say that. But you should be having – it's a pretty even game. You should be having a 50-50 split. It shouldn't be, all right, cool, Ohio State's here, and now Clemson's going to win. That's the attitude that we're getting, and it's ridiculous. And the other thing I want to throw out there about this whole lack of respect thing is good. I love it. I'd much rather everybody in the country be crapping on Ohio State left and right, saying, yeah, Clemson's going to play LSU. We're going to see a real championship because they're from the Southeast, versus everybody out there slobbering all over Ohio State because they're so awesome and so great. I like that they feel slighted. How many times do Heisman Trophy winners win championships? Not many. Ask Marcus Mariota how that went against the Buckeyes back in 2014. So I'm mad that they're being disrespected, but I'm also glad they're being disrespected, if that makes any sense. Because this is a team that doesn't already need any more motivation. But they're coming out of the banquet circuit with a grudge. They're not coming out of the banquet circuit with 10 extra pounds on their stomach. So I think at this point, I'm glad people are discounting Ohio State. And we're going to see how much that discount weighs in the mind of the Buckeyes whenever they play in the Fiesta Bowl, because it's a very real thing that this team feels disrespected. Just go on Twitter from Thursday night and see about how many players were tweeting this dismay at the way the Buckeyes were being treated. Another thing, by the way, J.K. Dobbins had an unreal season, and he's an afterthought for virtually every award. That's just another example of the disrespect this Ohio State team's getting right now. I mean, you have a guy in J.K. Dobbins who's third in the country in rushing. I think he's second in touchdowns or something like that. The guy has nearly 2,000 total yards, and nobody's even mentioning him left. It's like he's an afterthought. A lot of these guys are going to be harboring a grudge going into the game. And, by the way, one thing, too, Clemson wasn't even at any of these ceremonies. So you know Dabo Swinney's going to be playing it up for them. I don't like to buy into narratives, but I am buying into the fact that I think the winner of the Ohio State-Clemson game wins the national championship.
You can feel the passion, people. Your next move is to head over and read the bucket. We appreciate back getting up early after a late night. Have a great Sunday.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.